Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hearts grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might and has become my salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name, make known the deeds of the Lord among the nations, proclaim that this name is exalted.
Sing praise to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The New Testament reading is from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Several years ago, the Bible study discussion turned to questions of hell. One member of the conversation asserted that without the threat of hell, there is no incentive to be good. His expectation was that there had to be that threat of wrath to curb behavior and keep people in line. It was an interesting conversation and one that raises substantial questions about how people see God. Put a different way, what do people expect when they think about God? For those who know my love for Slido surveys, you can relax. I am not going to invite us to form a word cloud with your expectations of God. But I have spent this past week thinking about how John the Baptizer addresses those who have come out to be baptized. In fact, John suggests that not only those who have come out, but he himself expects wrath from the Messiah. Indeed, from God. Meanwhile, this week, I had the privilege of hearing from a speaker who talks about brain science and leadership. His name is Angelo Bolea. Nearly 15 years ago, Bolea helped me to understand that the human brain outpaces the sensory system. What that means is that people actually see, and what they think they see can be quite different. In fact, the brain can be rather impatient and jump to conclusions rather than wait for the visual data to arrive. In the path of evolution, this is helpful. It's an important feature for survival. The result, though, is that humans often see what they expect to see. It takes incredible effort to slow down, to listen, to watch deeply, and to attend to what is actually happening before one's eyes and in one's ears. John the Baptizer had an issue with that. Even as he announces that one greater than he will come, one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, John later has to send a messenger to Jesus asking, "Are you the one, or shall we wait for another?" John expected wrath and vengeance and all sorts of nastiness. He expected the coming Messiah to rain down hell on those, especially those who deserve it, who do not live up to God's expectations. I don't think John is the only one who struggles with what he expects to see. Like my Bible study partner who could not imagine people doing the right thing, John could not imagine what Jesus, the Messiah, will be and do. Perhaps this is why slowing down, waiting, and watching is a critical spiritual practice for faithful followers of Jesus in this season of Advent. As much satisfaction as it may give to fantasize about calling people who do not measure up by whatever standard, broods of vipers, it is important to remember that this response is John, not Jesus. as much truth as John's instruction about ways to love neighbor reveals, it is important to remember that John uses the threat of wrath. Jesus extends an invitation to join the revolutionary movement of love, compassion, and indeed forgiveness and care for our neighbor. Yes, in Luke's telling, there is that parable of the sheep and the goats towards the end of the story where Jesus announces that there will be a judgment day. Even in that moment, though, neither the sheep nor the goats are aware of their love of God, nor their neglect of God in the least among them. But we are. So certainly, John's discourse with those various groups, with those who have an excess of clothing or food, with those who are tax collectors, who made their living by inflating the tax, soldiers who augmented their salary through extortion, these show forth a commitment to love and serve neighbor by being transformed by repentance, by changing the way we interact. Certainly, this is God's commandment. The question to wrestle with today is whether to follow John's lead, where one wouldn't love God or neighbor in word and deed without an expectation of fear, of hell, of wrath, or to follow the Holy Spirit-driven lead of Jesus, who recalls Isaiah's assertion that God's word is written on the human heart, that by invitation into living out the reign of God, humanity can see that surely God is our salvation. We believe that we have been baptized into the very presence of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Certainly, Isaiah also imagined the truth about the coming anointed one. Isaiah writes, "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord." Having been joined to Christ through the waters of baptism, the faithful hear this very same prayer, invoking precisely the same Spirit of wisdom and understanding, this same Spirit of counsel and might, this same Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord prayed over them at their baptism. The fear of the Lord takes the shape of awed awareness of God's love, blessing, and forgiveness. By that Spirit of God, the faithful are propelled out into the world to announce in everything that they do and say that God, the Messiah, is near in Jesus Christ. Even judgment is an invitation into promised new life, grace, and salvation. Daily asking ourselves where we see God and asking ourselves what God is calling us to be is a discipline that opens the faithful to shifting expectations beyond fear of wrath, to see all the ways that God's grace is already present, empowering this gathered community to live out the fullness of the coming and already here reign of God in Jesus, the Christ. In that, all the faithful join Paul in exclaiming, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice."
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at standrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.